Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Sai Prakash. And dear listener, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And this is the month of December. This is the time you see many people who have not exhausted their annual leaves coming to this serene hamlet now to make best use of those holidays. Spend some days of absolute relaxation, unburdening their hearts and detoxifying their minds, so to say, and calming their beings. In fact, this is the period between Baba's birthday and Christmas. The last program associated with Baba's 88th birthday happened on November 25th, and now till December 24th, 25th, there is relatively less busy window in the Prashanti calendar, and so you have many coming now just to stay here and bask in this serenity, away from the rat race, away from the multifarious gadgets which do not allow you a moment of respite, away from the hectic routines, and just be in the presence, in the stillness, in the silence, and feel Him, feel His voice within, tune to Him. In fact, just a couple of days ago, I met a Radio Sai volunteer from United Kingdom, and after staying here for 10 days, she left Prashanti back to UK, and then she sent me a message describing her experience of being in Sai Kulwant Hall, and she writes, "Vishu, I have to share this with you. After settling down in Puttaparthi, after the jet lag and all that was gone, I started focusing on the Samadhi. And it was such an overwhelming feeling. There is a phenomenal amount of energy being pumped into the world, into the universe, from the Samadhi. It's just gushing out in huge, huge amounts. There has been talks of energy shifts on earth. I strongly feel the Samadhi is doing that. That is a living, breathing Samadhi. We have Bhagwan there in His non-physical form, just radiating so much energy. We have no clue, absolutely no clue of what is happening to the earth because of this phenomenal power there." This is what she wrote. And when I read this, I just said to myself, no wonder so many are coming back to the Samadhi again and again, just like they would return for Bhagwan's darshan. I remember speaking to a group of Germans last year, and one person told me that now he has the chance of getting Pada Namaskar of Swami every day. He said earlier, to touch Bhagwan's feet, it would be almost impossible with so much crowd. Even if you stayed for 10 days or 30 days, still it was very difficult to get the opportunity to touch the Lord's feet. But now I get to touch His feet twice a day. Every time I place my head at the Samadhi, I have the same experience of touching the lotus feet of Baba. He is so much there. It is simply incredible. In fact, it is the same feeling that scores of international musicians articulated after their Sai Symphony Orchestra on November 24th, 2013. In fact, the last Outside Inside Deep Inside session was dedicated to the experiences of these eclectic group of distinguished musicians from Japan to Germany, from US to Switzerland, from Thailand to Denmark. So this is the time in Prashanti when everybody is coming to spend whatever extra time they can before this year ends. Take moments off from their busy lives and be in the divine presence, in the abode of peace. And while it is so calm and relaxed in the Sai Kulwant Hall now, the scene in the hostels of school students and college students is actually quite the opposite. Yes, because this is the time which is most important for them. So much has to be achieved in these 4 weeks for them to stage that annual spectacular event in the Hillview Stadium on January 11th, the annual sports and cultural meet. And if you happen to go to the ground in the morning any of these days, you would be so taken in with so many things happening in different corners of this huge stadium. The band boys belting out rigorously to get that symphony, groups of students learning to march like the army with perfect synchronicity. On the other side, so many track and field events going on. In another corner, students doing some aero sports in preparation for the sports meet, while you will find another bunch of students warming up to do some aerobics. So it is virtually a beehive of activity. And one feels really so glad, so heartening to see young boys shaking off their slumber at 5:30 in the morning when it is so cold. It definitely needs willpower to get out of your bed, out of your cozy comfort zone, especially this time of the year, and rough it out on the ground. It is so good for their bodies, so refreshing for the students' minds and souls. As Baba always says, bend the body, mend the senses, and end the mind. And this ground is the arena where preparation for this sadhana of life happens. One of these days, when I was on the ground in the morning after jogging for a while and curiously, inquisitively looking at the various things happening around, my eyes went up and I keenly started watching all the mammoth statues of different gods and avatars that Swami has installed in this stadium. Lord Shiva, Lord Krishna, Lord Buddha, Lord Jesus, and so on. And then my eyes went higher and now they settled down on that imposing structure of Lord Hanuman. I kept staring at it, and after a while I just felt pulled towards it, and so I just started jogging up. I started taking that steep climb. It was difficult, it was exhausting, but I was running, I was jogging. But even though it was difficult, it was very fulfilling, it was very satisfying. You know how many times Bhagwan has taken this road to see his dear Hanuman. I kept ruminating on all those beautiful scenes, and so huffing and puffing, struggling, but satisfied and deriving all strength from chanting his name, I eventually reached the top. And once I was there, wow, what a view it was from there. I felt I am on the top of the world, because from there you can see the entire expanse of this divine valley. On the left stood the administrative block and the museum, and then the string of educational institutions. As your eyes move to the right, you see the road to Baba Super Speciality Hospital, and you see along the sands of River Chitravati so beautifully enclosing a large stretch of this holy town. You see the entire divine valley in such a beautiful panoramic vision. And down you see all the boys spread out in the field, so colorful, so full of activity, so beautiful, especially early in the morning. And after thrilled by this nice scene, I now turned and went to the feet of Lord Hanuman. I prostrated, and as I lifted my head and opened my eyes fell on the plaque there at the feet of Hanuman. And this plaque said, inaugurated by Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba on November 23rd, 1990. And I thought, this is so profound. On his own birthday in 1990, the Lord decided to dedicate the statue of his devotee to the world. Birthdays come and go, but somehow we never ponder on this. And I thought, this is such a significant event that Bhagwan did on his 65th birthday, and probably we never ruminate on this. And so I started thinking about this, I started contemplating on this, and so many beautiful insights emerged, inspired by Bhagwan, of course. And so I called two other brothers from the university and asked them if they too felt anything similar when they looked at Hanuman on the Hillview Stadium. And they had plenty to share. And so we just sat together and recorded a discussion on Hanuman, the annual sports and cultural meet, and living his message in our lives. In fact, it became a 1.5 hour discussion. So what I'm going to do today is play for you the first part of this session. But before this, let us just enjoy this beautiful, vibrant composition on Hanuman by my colleague Anirudh. Let's just revel in this personality of Veer Anjaneya.
Oh,
isn't that a really amazing composition? So befitting Hanuman, the power and vibrancy. Because Hanuman symbolizes not just devotion, it is a devotion packed with capability, devotion packed with action, devotion packed with performance, devotion packed with service of the highest. So that is what we are going to do today. We are going to discuss about this powerful personality of Hanuman on this Thursday Live. Continue. Thank you so much for continuing to listen to this Thursday Live program. And this is the last segment of the continuing Thursday Live.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
So, welcome to Outside Inside Deep Inside on Thursday Live. And as I mentioned, I'm going to play for you now the first part of the discussion on Hanuman and the relevance of his personality in our lives in the current times. And we recorded this just a couple of days ago on December 3rd, 2013. So, here it is. Our discussion starts with a prayer to the Lord. Let us offer our most respectful and grateful and reverential salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we continue to strive steadfastly to bolster our beings and strengthen our inner self so that one day we shine as silent but sure and clear reflections of your love and your presence. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome dear listeners to this fresh episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today we are going to discuss about that towering personality from our sacred spiritual heritage, in front of whom even the Supreme Lord becomes speechless. The very mention of whose name touches that softest part in the core of the Lord's being, that the Lord is overwhelmed with tender emotion. Someone whom God fell in love with, whom time cannot touch, and who symbolizes courage, faith, wisdom, strength, unmatched intelligence and sublime innocence. An awesome mix of valor and virtue, strong character and unruffled calmness. As Bhagwan always says, Shantudu, Balavantudu, Gunavantudu, Hanumantudu. Yes, the eternal inspiring persona of Hanuman. And joining me in this satsang today are two former students of Baba's University. Both of them are now faculty members in his college in Prashantinilayam. Brother Deepak Anand, who teaches the management students, and Brother Sai Giridhar, who is in the Department of Chemistry. Welcome, brothers, to this program.
Thank you.
Sai Ram, Vishu, Brother.
Sai Ram.
Many times I have this chance to go to the Hillview Stadium, especially in the morning hours. You know, Swami has blessed us with this beautiful arena for our physical culture, and you're tempted to go for a walk or jogging in the morning. And it's always a very heartening sight when you see so many students of Swami school and college early in the morning, you know, shaking off their slumber. And at 6:15, the ground is full. And whenever I am there in the ground, one thing that just cannot miss your eye is this towering statue, impressive statue of Hanuman. And many times that always leads me to thinking, why is it that Bhagwan placed this huge edifice right at the top, at the summit is Hanuman, and below that you have all the gods, be it Lord Buddha to Lord Jesus to Krishna to Lord Shiva, Shirdi Sai Avatar, everyone is there below at the feet of the Hanuman. But why is it that Bhagwan had Hanuman right at the peak, at the top of this Hillview Stadium? Anytime has this thought crossed your mind, brothers?
Oh, yes, of course. In fact, Vishu, this is, I think, a meaningful discussion that we will have today, I'm sure. Because to me personally and to many devotees of Bhagwan, our Sai Rama, Lord Hanuman has been the epitome of the ideal that he has set for all of us for all times to come. In fact, I remember this was narrated by one of our school staff members in one of the speeches in the Kulwant Hall. That the boys would want to present some particular drama program in Kulwant Hall. And Swami interacted with those boys who had all gathered inside the Bhajan Mandir. And after some interaction, Bhagwan asked if anybody had a question to ask. And everybody thought probably, you know, somebody would ask a question about the drama or the roles that they are playing. Suddenly one boy asked Swami a very strange question, which nobody expected. And he asked Swami, is there anything beyond God?
Anything beyond God?
Beyond God. Okay. And everybody was surprised. Out of the world question to ask God himself. Swami, yeah. Is there anything beyond you? And would you believe Swami standing there in his own typical inimitable style, keeping his hands in the back, you know, his beautiful charming face swinging from side to side. And Swami looked at the boy very lovingly and said, yes. And everybody was surprised. Oh God, the avatar is telling there's something beyond him also.
Yes.
And Swami looked at him and said, yes. And that is L-O-V-E, love.
Wow.
That is love. Even the avatar comes out from the infinite ocean of love and manifests himself as an ideal for all humanity to follow, imitate and reach him. That is why love is supreme. On many, many occasions, Swami would always emphasize that he is not bound to a devotee per se. Swami said, what is a devotee without devotion? So I am bound to only devotion. Today your devotion is there, I am bound to you. Tomorrow you lose your devotion. Tomorrow you lose your faith in the divinity. Then you are no more a devotee. Though you may claim that you are one, but for God, it's only devotion per se, which is most important. And I think Hanuman epitomizes that particular height of devotion. And that is why that love, which is beyond God himself, is beyond the stature of all the forms of God that we have placed in the Hillview Stadium.
Wow. And what comes to mind is this famous quote, the power of your faith in the object is greater than the object of faith.
Itself, yes.
They say, the power of your faith in the object is greater than the object of faith. And that is what I think Hanuman epitomizes.
And the evidence of that, I'll just take 1 minute. Even the bridge across the ocean is being built to Lanka. And Rama, when he puts the stone in the ocean for them to float, they're not able to float. And then Hanuman puts the name of the Rama with all his love and devotion, and the stones float.
In fact, Swami so beautifully describes how even the name of Rama, when it was written on a single stone and they put it into the ocean, it was simply floating away.
Yes.
Then Lakshmana actually gives this idea. He says, why don't you put Ra on one stone and Ma on the other stone? And then both the stones would come together and combine because of the natural power of the name of the Lord, which was in fact the basis and the strength of Hanuman.
Hanuman.
Anyway, another very important reason why Hanuman stays there, I feel, is because if I think of what is the group or who are the people who come into the indoor stadium maximum number of times, if you see in a given day or even over a period of a year or years together, are the students.
Yes.
Day in and day out, students come into the indoor stadium. They have their sports and games in the mornings, in the afternoons. So I would wonder, why would the Lord place Hanuman right on top of the hill for them every time they walk in to play their sports and games? It is very interesting because Swami always has inspired students to take Hanuman as their example or their ideal to follow in their day-to-day life. But Swami used to say, as Vishu brother beautifully mentioned, he used to inspire students and tell them that, see, Hanuman had these tremendous qualities. He was Shantudu, he was Balavantudu, he was Gunavantudu, and he was Hanumantudu. I think over the sequence of discussions that we have, we should bring out these beautiful characteristics of Hanuman, which form an ideal for every youth in this world to follow.
Yes. In fact, even as you mentioned this, every time I see that imposing statue of Hanuman, the other thought that comes to me is, okay, Bhagwan, if he was so keen on having the statue of Hanuman there, but he could have had the Hanuman in any other posture. For example, you have a beautiful silver statue of Hanuman in the bhajan hall where Hanuman is doing Namasankirtan.
Bhaktanjaneya.
Bhaktanjaneya. You have those kartals in both his hands and he's doing Namasankirtan. And you have so many postures of Hanuman.
The Veera Hanuman with, you know, the mace and like ready to go for the battle.
Yeah. But here, Swami, even though I think engineering-wise, it was difficult to have a structure where Hanuman is carrying the mountain. Because you have to have on the top his hand holding such a huge mass of, ton of concrete. So engineering-wise, it was actually a very difficult thing to do. But Swami wanted only that posture where Hanuman is in action.
In fact, I think it's worth mentioning here that when the engineers got this model from Bhagwan, in fact, Swami created a 3.5-inch model of Hanuman, which was to be replicated there on top of the Hillview Stadium. And when the engineers were wondering, how will this Hanuman's left hand is carrying a huge mountain and the hand is suspended in air.
Yes.
It's a tremendously heavy structure which is out there. So the best of the engineers were there and they were wondering, how is it that it is going to stand that way? Because over a period of time, sheerly because of gravity, the weight would put pressure on the left hand of Hanuman there and it would break and fall down. And when they went to Swami, Swami said, look carefully at the model which I have created. And if you see in that model so beautifully, Hanuman's uttariya, the cloth which he wears on top, it flows from his left hand onto his thigh. Swami said, that is like an iron pillar, a huge iron pillar which actually supports the hand.
Swami, the load balancing.
Yeah, the load balancing structure. It's amazing how Swami materialized this idol of Hanuman, which was not only a beautiful divine structure, but also an engineering marvel.
Yes, by marvel.
I have also read that given the huge height of the structure and the weight of the structure, someone suggested to Swami that, Swami, can we have the inside of the structure hollow? Then the weight of the structure would be less. Swami said, I wanted a solid structure. Because this is one statue which is going to be there for hundreds of years. I do not want anything hollow inside. And the other thing, Swami wanted the statue should have a pedestal. And when they asked Swami how high should be the pedestal, Swami said, my height.
Oh.
My height.
So God is the foundation.
Foundation. See, Swami didn't devotees say 5'3" or put 5'4". Swami said the pedestal should be of my height. And when, of course, later when they did all the calculations, they figured that 5'4" pedestal was the just right dimensions needed for the statue to be stable. And Swami wanted to be at that height so that people can see. Swami said people who stand at the foot of the hill also should be able to see the entire persona of Hanuman. That was the importance and the detail into which Swami went when he had that vision of putting that Hanuman there. So definitely there is so much more meaning. To what the Lord
beautiful. And as Bishu, you said that, you know, this is one God who's in action.
Yes.
He's like Veeranjaneya who's carrying that particular Sanjeevani Parvata.
Yes.
And in fact, if you see, even in Mahabharata, Hanuman decided not to be a part of any of the Kauravas or the Pandavas.
Yes.
But he said, I'll be on the flag post of Arjuna's chariot.
Yes.
And guiding the whole war from there and watching the whole war from there in the same posture.
Same posture.
Same posture as we have
carrying the Sanjeevani Mountain. You
know? Yes. Sanjeevani Mountain there also and carrying it here also.
Wow.
Sir, I think the idea of having Hanuman in all preparedness or readiness, carrying the Sanjeevani Mountain in action, somehow conveys that every single movement one has to be ready to do Ramakarya or Swami's work.
Correct.
You know, I remember one session in Kulban's Hall, if I'm not mistaken, in the year 2005, when Swami had injured his right arm And he had come a little late to Prashantinilayam from Vrindavan, and it was the month of July. And Swami asked for his mic and gave a discourse. And in the discourse, Swami so beautifully mentioned that a day will come when the entire Kulwant Hall will be filled with rice grains, and all my students will go and serve all the villages around, feeding them. Nitya Annadanam will happen, and my students will do my work. And he asked, how many of you, and in fact he said, senior students have to take lead in it, and how many of you are ready? So all of us raised our hands. In fact, next day we felt that we have to respond or reciprocate Swami's call. So immediately we had prepared one beautiful card for Swami, in which we had written, Swami, to be your hands, to be your voice, we are ready. Please make us your instruments, which is the essence of the card. And when we went up to Swami, Swami so beautifully said, Swami, e pani ichina, siddhanga undandi. Means whatever work Swami gives you, always be prepared and ready to do it. I think this pose of Hanuman is such a beautiful symbol for all of us, Swami's devotees and students, to be prepared and ready every single moment, alert to find out what is that work which Swami wants us to do for Him. What is the Sai Rama Seva which Swami wants us to do for Him as His nano little Hanumans.
Wow. It's really fantastic. Deepak Kanan brother mentioned that Hanuman was there during the Mahabharata war.
The same pose.
And the same pose. So Hanuman, who was in Trita Yuga, was the inspiration again for Arjuna.
For Arjuna.
And the same inspiration continues. Swami wanted the same. You see, for ages, from Treta to Dwapara to now, when the Lord came down, the same Sai Rama, the same Sai Krishna came down as Satya Sai, He wanted the Hanuman there. And Krishna is also there in Shanti Vedika.
Hmm. Oh, that's a beautiful. I mean, it's not a coincidence. Obviously, Swami has planned it. It's so beautiful to know that both the scene of the Mahabharata war,
yes,
with Arjuna and his chariot, with the flag which bears Hanuman, again in action holding the Sanjeevani Parvat, and Hanumanji with the Sanjeevani Parvat on top of the Hanuman hill, both being there in the stadium.
Yes.
I think it's phenomenal.
Phenomenal. I mean, that is for listeners who are wondering where the Arjuna and the Mahabharata scene is, it is the backdrop of the Shanti Vedika.
It's the backdrop of the Shanti
Vedika. You have that huge painting where, again,
you know, right behind where Swami used to sit. And watch the sports and
exactly. And there again, Hanuman is there on that flag post, but Hanuman is top. Just like the earlier Treta, it all started with Hanuman. You have Hanuman at the top, and then you have below that the Shanti Vedika, where Lord Himself sits, and behind Him you have the backdrop, and where Arjuna is. And as we discussed, the posture in action.
Exactly.
You have to do God's work.
Do the God's work. I think in that respect, it is very also important for us to understand what was that great message of Mahabharata, which was, you know, which gave us the Bhagavad Gita and the lesson for life. If we actually see, Arjuna was very depressed, he was very confused as the youth of the country, maybe today, many of us. But then the Lord, by showing him his prowess, by showing him the future, showing him his Vishwarupa Darshana, gave him that clarity and said that you are Nimitta Matra. You have to only do your action.
That is, you are an instrument.
You are only an instrument. And the action has already been performed by the Lord. With that feeling of total devotion and dedication and surrender,
yes,
we must do that particular action. Then only it becomes Ramakarya. Even though we may be engaged in God's work, to say, on the outside world, but if we don't have that kind of a surrender, that devotion, and that feeling of oneness with the Lord, it doesn't really become Ramakarya.
In fact, Lord Krishna tells Arjuna this. He says, how should you fight this war? Krishna says so beautifully, Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mama Anusmara Yuddhacha.
Beautiful.
Which is such a beautiful mantra for each one of us. Swami says, Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu, every single moment in your life, Mama Anusmara Yuddhacha. I think the act of war is very symbolic, because at that moment the action which was being performed by Arjuna was the war which was going on between the Pandavas and the Kauravas, the Dharma Yuddha. But for us, every action needs to be motivated by this beautiful advice of the Lord, where He says, every single moment perform your action thinking of Me, knowing that I am the doer.
Yes.
And this is the same thing which Hanuman epitomized.
Yes.
And he was the inspiration for Arjuna on his ratha, on his chariot. And even Arjuna succeeded.
Yes.
With this formula.
Yes. And I think as you mentioned, action is must. And no one can escape action. And that is so much there in the Bhagavad Gita. And Swami is telling how you should perform the action. For that, Hanuman is the inspiration. And in fact, when I look at the Hillview Stadium, first, of course, you have the Hanuman. Then you have the avatars. Then on the ground, you have these huge pictures of Bhagwan. And on these huge posters, you have the sayings. It starts with, life is a game, play it. Life is a challenge, meet it. Life is love, enjoy it. Life is a dream, realize it. And whenever I look at all these sayings, I feel they are such potent messages because everyone is fighting a battle of some sorts. Every youth, every devotee, every person in the world is all the time trying to do so many things, and you all the time feel it is so difficult trying to manage so many things. And here Bhagwan is telling life is a game. Life is a game played, and for this, Hanuman is the inspiration, how you should play the game of life. And in fact, earlier, Girdhar, you mentioned that Bhagwan has Hanuman in the Hillview Stadium where the students, his students go every morning. Not only morning, you know, during the day, so many occasions. And the other thought that occurs to me is, one event that invariably happens in the Hillview Stadium every year is the annual sports and cultural meet.
Absolutely. In fact, for the last 2 decades plus.
Yes. Yes. The other event that happens is Bhagwan's birthday, but that happens once in five years. But the event that invariably happens every year is the annual sports and cultural meet. And I feel if you look at the way the annual sports and cultural meet unfolds, the spirit with which the boys do everything, the kind of feats they do, and the motivation for them to do, and the kind of display that happens, and you look at all these sayings around, and then you look at Hanuman, everything just falls in place so beautifully.
It's so beautiful because even as you describe this, I get a picture as though the Hillview Stadium symbolizes life itself.
Exactly.
Because it simply is a field of action filled with beautiful colors. You know, sports meet means it reminds us of beautiful colors, action, all of them, you know, disciplined way, marching.
Not a dull moment.
Not a dull moment.
Yes.
It is such a beautiful, though it might look chaotic, you know, with hundreds of students, boys and girls participating in it. But it is such a beautiful
event.
It's
really exciting. Really a confluence of colors of life, I would say, the Hillview Stadium.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely.
In fact, also Hanuman is called so because he's without any anumana or doubt. See, Hanuman, I think, epitomizes, and all that happens in the Hillview Stadium also is symbolic, that if you have clarity of your goal, if you know for whom you are doing it, if you have clarity of how to perform it, if you use the intelligence well, you will be able to reach your goal. So both your devotion and intelligence, which are epitomized by Hanuman, are required for you as instruments to reach your goal.
I think when you say life is a game played, to play the game of life, first you should be very clear about what is the goal.
Goal. Yes.
Absolutely. Like the sports and culture meet.
Yes.
You ask any student, what is his motivation? Why is he doing it? They really slog out, work hard in the hot sun. You will find all the students have got tanned completely.
Exactly. I really remember
parents, yeah.
In 11th class, I had just joined that year and I was into karate. So we were supposed to do a karate drill. And for that 1.5 months, I was under the sun for 3-4 hours minimum every day. And when my relatives and parents came back after the sports, they couldn't recognize
yeah,
me.
Yeah, they find it difficult to recognize. And students in this age, when people...
But they learned karate in 1 month.
In 1 month's time.
One month's time.
Absolutely.
That clarity of goal is there and that motivation is there behind.
In fact, if you see in this age, when the youth of the world is looking at how cosmetics can help them look better and more handsome and more beautiful and all that, here are a bunch of guys, both men and women, who are ready to slog out or work hard in the hot sun, get tanned, for what? And you ask any student, they would say, we are doing it for Swami. And I think that is the most, as sir mentioned, everybody is clear about the goal. And the sports meet event itself reminds me of what Shakespeare said, all world is a stage, and all men and women are but actors in it. In the same way, The Hillview Stadium looks like the stage of life itself, where all men and women are actors and all their performances are dedicated for only one purpose, only one goal, and that is Bhagwan Baba, who would sit there and watch their performances.
And actions can also be of various kinds, depending upon the inner motivation that drives them. So this kind of action which is dedicated towards pleasing the Lord is sattvic action. And Swami minces no words in saying that today what is happening in the world, what is going wrong in the world, what is bad in the world, is not only because many rasic and tamasic people are very action oriented, because the sattvic people are not taking up the action and taking up the responsibility of reforming things from where they are. And he always makes sure that when you perform the action, you are given the result. I'll share with you one small instance here from Kodaikanal, 1999. It was the 6 days of the trip had already gone by. And Professor Anil Kumar, who was there with us, was daily prodding us and, you know, telling that, Swami, by the first six days, would have already given 5-6 photographs, individual to all the boys and teachers who were there. But there were no photographs at all. And all the pleadings for a photograph with Bhagwan were on deaf ears. And Swami would say, no, boys, wait. And finally, Ishwarama Day arrived. And Swami distributed us the t-shirt which had the message of love all and serve all and the symbol of the institution, Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara. And wearing those with full dedication, with Sai Rama Nama on our lips, we tried our best to please Bhagwan in any way we could, in distribution, in placing of, in filling up the plates, in distribution of clothes. And after that, Swami in fact went around Kodaikanal distributing clothes to those people who could not come there. After the whole work was done, some of the elders said, Swami, the boys did very well in distribution work and in service to all the people who came here. Bhagwan was so pleased and said, yes, the boys have served well. They have taken my name and they have done service to me. And now, boys, come on, let's have a photograph. And would you believe, on a single day, we had 4 individual photographs and 2 group photographs on a single day.
In different locations.
In different locations. One inside the hall, one inside in the balcony,
my God,
in some other place. And Swami was so beautifully amazed and happy with all of us. I think that is a message of Hanuman's life. Sattvic work should be action-oriented. Sattvic people should be action-oriented.
In fact, the other message I can draw from what Sir has just mentioned is that you have to dedicate your energies and talents in service to God.
Yes.
I think that is what really Lord looks for. You know, how much have you shared your love and your seva with the rest of the world?
In fact, Giridhar, I am tempted to say that when you say life is a game, play it. In any game, what really matters is how good you serve. Deepak Anand, brother, you are a table tennis player. You perhaps know how important it is to serve.
Oh yes,
to win points.
Very critical. Especially now when we have only an 11 points game. If you won 2-3 service points, you won the game.
Yeah. So service is so important, you know, for the game of life.
Absolutely.
And here also it is the same.
And you have to start always with love all.
Oh yeah.
And only you can start the first
that
service.
Is the game of life. Yeah.
That is so beautiful.
In fact, in 2003, drama also, and the same thing was I observed, that I was playing a particular role of a lead person who was a singer, who was dedicating his life of whatever I had learned from my guru back to the guru as service to society. And there was one other person who wanted to sell away his talent and, you know, make money out of it. And finally, that person goes away, loses his voice, comes back and is taken back into the fold. The message there was very clear. Whatever talent you have is a gift from God. Offer it to the God as Naivedyam. And whatever comes out of it, accept it as prasadam. That is the message. And the same drama, I remember there was Brother Ganesh was acting as a newspaper boy. When this person loses his voice, it becomes a headline news and he, you know, goes on giving the papers to everybody. He did his part so well, just for 1 minute time, coming and going selling newspapers. Newspaper, newspaper, here is the headlines. Mr. Alankar has lost his voice. Whatever the news, you know, his one line dialogue. Swami was so happy with that one line dialogue, mm-hmm, that in fact he was given more importance than me, who was the hero of the drama.
Oh my God.
Because he offered his fullness of his abilities in that one line to Bhagwan in such a way, with such dedication, that Bhagwan accepted it as an offering of love.
In fact, I remember listening to Venkatraman sir over Radio Sai, where he shared this experience. And once in Thrai Vrindavan, when sir was given an opportunity to speak in the Divine Presence, he mentioned what Clive Lloyd had told during the Satyasai Unity Cup here.
Yes.
And he quoted Clive Lloyd, the famous West Indian cricketer, and said that, you know, talent is a gift of God. It has to be offered back unto him. Immediately, Swami corrected Venkatraman sir and said, talent is not gift of God. Swami said, talent is God. You know, it is such a profound thing that talent is God. Swami is saying that all that creativity that you bring into the sports and cultural meet, into your dramas, into the drama of life itself, that where does that creativity come from? Talent is God. Beautiful. So live your life for God, because your entire life, everything that you have, all the gifts that you have, is verily God itself.
Beautiful.
It has to be used only in the service of the Lord.
Only in the service. And this comes to the first quality of Hanuman, which Swami says, Shantudu. Mm-hmm. How should you serve the Lord? Shantudu, which translates into the peaceful one, if you would literally translate. But then Swami says, Shantudu is the quality of a devotee, which is epitomized by Hanuman. What is Shantudu? Swami explains and says, Shanti basically means equanimity. That is, when you play this game of life, you will meet with success, you will meet with failure. Swami says that the yardstick for the measurement of bhakti is the shanti of the bhakta. Mm-hmm. That is, the yardstick of how devoted you are to the Lord is how neutral or equanimous you are in the face of both victory and defeat, joy and sorrow. Swami says that is shanti, and Hanuman epitomized that quality of shanti. That's why Swami gave him the title of Shantudu. And Swami further gives a beautiful story and explains how this quality is embodied by Hanuman. It so happened that after all the accomplishments of Hanuman and after the war was fought and won, here was the Lord Sri Rama seated there in the assembly of every single warrior there, you know, who had served him. And Hanuman, of course, the greatest of the warriors or the servants of the Lord, standing there, and Lakshmana there, Rama wanted to test Hanuman, or rather give a message to all of us. So Sri Rama said, nobody has served me like Lakshmana has.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine this statement. Nobody has served me like Lakshmana has. And when I heard the story from one of the Kathakars of Ramayana, they were, you know, so beautifully describing this. They said, if we were to be Hanuman and we were to hear this statement from Rama, immediately the thought would be, what is it you are saying, my Lord? I was the one who got Sanjeevani all the way from the Himalayas and saved your brother Lakshmana.
Yes.
I was the one who crossed the ocean and found where Mother Sita is. If I wouldn't have done all this, there would be no war.
Lakshmana wouldn't be alive.
Yeah, Lakshmana wouldn't be alive. And you say that Lakshmana is the one who has served you most? That would be a normal man's perspective. But then the way Hanuman did service was unique. And it was a beautiful example for all of us to follow. It seems what Hanuman had thought at that moment when Sri Rama said this, that Lakshmana is the one who has served me most, is if Lakshmana has served so sincerely the Lord, Lord is indicating to me that he must be very tired.
Oh.
So Hanumanji understood that from that moment onwards, during the day, he has to allot some amount of his time in serving Lakshmana too.
Oh my
because
God.
He has been serving the Lord incessantly. Now look at this attitude of seva. Absolutely no ego. And seva is such a beautiful thing. Like one Swami had mentioned in the bhajan hall to all the students of Swami who are working in his various institutions. When they said, Swami, give us an opportunity to serve. Swami said, every moment is an opportunity to serve. Why? Seva is your birthright, Swami said.
Birthright.
Birthright. Seva is your birthright, which means there is no end to seva. Every moment you should aspire to serve the Lord. And that was epitomized by Hanuman without an iota of ego or the feeling that I have done so much.
Wow. In fact, even as you narrate this, I'm reminded of that episode in Ramayana where Hanuman is crossing over the ocean in search of Mother Sita, and seeing that Hanuman is on this huge mission, and given the challenges that Hanuman has to face and the tremendous amount of work involved, you have the mountain Mainaka
coming up from the
and
ocean.
Requesting Hanuman, you are doing Ramakarya, please rest for a while because this is going to be a very arduous journey. And Hanuman at that point in time says, I am busy doing the Lord's work, and when I am engaged in Ramakarya, I cannot rest.
Even for a moment.
Even for a moment. I mean, rest is anathema when it comes to Ramakarya. I mean, that is the passion and that is the dedication to service. And all he does is he just touches the mountain just so as not to disappoint the mountain. And then he moves on. Never thinking about even, almost a sin to think that I will rest when I am doing Lord's work.
And that is the spirit, you know, the even our students I have seen many occasions, they have that spirit. In the sports meet time, if you just go and see a few days back, boys would have given up the food and rest for many days. For 48 hours, for, you know, 52 hours, they would not sleep at all and continue Lord's work. There is a small instance which I want to tell about, you know, how that passion is imbibed in many of our students. Long ago, before the Shiva statue was built in the Hillview Stadium, as told to me one of our earlier teachers, who was the director of the dramas that time. He said, one day Swami came to the Hillview Stadium and he said that there was a small room there, which was like a storeroom for keeping cement bags and other tools and implements for the Hillview Stadium work, where Shiva statue stands today. And as the boys were having study vacations, they were all studying their books in the Hillview Stadium, and Bhagwan's car came. So they all came close to Bhagwan's car. And Bhagwan said, "Oh, when are your examinations?" And the boy said, "Swami, they're starting from day after tomorrow." Then Swami said, "Okay, I will not disturb you. I wanted this small storeroom to be dismantled and taken away so that, you know, I can build a statue of Lord Shiva here." And Swami said, "Okay, don't worry. You continue your studies and I will send the sevadars for doing this particular job." But can you imagine that the devotees of the Lord, can they miss that opportunity when they have come to know about it?
Yes.
And the news spread like wildfire in the hostel. All the boys came with whatever implements they could gather from anywhere. And within an hour or two, the whole bricks were dismantled.
Even before instructions can be sent to sevadars.
Sevadars. And when sevadars came looking for a room, which was to be dismantled, there was no room.
Oh my God.
And in the evening, no, this is the love between the devotee and the God. In the evening, when the boys were sitting, Swami just came by and just looked at the boys and with a twinkle in his eye, just smiled at them. And the story was complete.
It almost reminds me of Rama and his Vanaras.
Exactly. Today the marching started in the Hillview Stadium. And that is
in
a
preparation for the sports
meet. Preparation for the sports meet. So the Vanar army is getting disciplined and we are on the job.
Fantastic. But even as we discuss about this serving the Lord, but the other thing that comes to me is when you talk about Hanuman crossing the ocean and or bringing a Sanjeevani, Hanuman always also had to encounter so many challenges. I mean, that we see, you know, whenever anyone who takes up any noble cause, anyone who wants to do something for the Lord, many times we would see that he's actually faced with so many seemingly insurmountable obstacles. And that is where what comes to my mind is that famous quote of Bhagwan, "Life is a challenge, meet it." And I feel in Hanuman's character, you see not only this life is a game played, but also life is a challenge, meet it. You see a demonstration of this dictum of Bhagwan.
Absolutely.
Best is his taste. Swami always says, it's for you to grow.
And in order to pass this test, you need tremendous courage. And in fact, Swami always said that Hanuman is the epitome of courage.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the ordinary kind of daredevilry that we are talking about here when we say courage. It is the courage of a devotee which is born out of deep, unshakable faith in his Lord. And that is the kind of courage which Hanumanji epitomized. In fact, Vishu brother was mentioning about the journey of Hanuman across the ocean and the challenges that he had to face. And he already mentioned the first challenge which Hanumanji encountered, of the Mainak Parvat, the mountain Mainak, which is described as a sattvic challenge or a sattvic obstacle. Because brief history of Mainak mountain is that Mainak was indebted to Vayudeva, that is the wind god, for a favor which he had done for him. And seeing Hanuman pass by, Hanuman who is the son of Vayudeva or the wind god, Mainak wanted to return the favor to Hanuman. So that is why he offers that, "Why don't you take a little rest on me, or you can take another leap from me probably. And then also feast on the fruits that are there on me, on the trees which are growing on me." When this favor was offered to Hanuman, Hanuman categorically, I will not say refused, but as you beautifully put, he negotiated well. And the lesson here is, for any sadhaka or any devotee of the Lord who is engaged in the Lord's work, whenever such sattvic obstacles come, the best way to overcome them is negotiation.
Oh, wonderful. Mm.
That is, whenever people...
You may not always oblige, but you can speak obligingly.
You can speak obligingly. Yes. You have people who are actually well-wishers, but sometimes even what they say or what they do might be obstacles in our service to the Lord.
Yes.
So what we should do is we should speak obligingly, lovingly, without hurting them, but ensure that our focus on the Lord's work is not wavered, even for a moment. That's a beautiful lesson which Hanumanji gave.
And that is a good example even for the boys who go back in the holidays time to their homes. And sometimes, you know, the sattvic obstacles in the form of parents and other relations come and say, oh, you have not tasted restaurant food, let's go. You've not seen movies. Why don't you see some movies? I think that is the time the youth of the country, especially our students, have to say that these are sattvic obstacles. We should not say no to them. We should not hurt our parents. But we should negotiate with them and say, no, that is not my way. I would rather spend time in something better than that.
Swami used to beautifully tell us this before we go for the vacations. He would say, see, parents will tell you that way. But you must speak to them lovingly and say, no mother, no father. Swami has taught us that we should not watch TV. It is Telivi Vishamu.
Yes.
So we should avoid TV. So we lovingly speak to them and even influence them.
Beautiful.
That is the characteristic of a devotee. A devotee engaged in the seva of the Lord becomes a natural inspiration to the people around. In fact, you don't need to go around inspiring people. You just live a life of service to God. It serves as an inspiration for people around. It transforms lives even without your knowledge.
Beautiful.
Just like a flower, the presence of the flower means there is fragrance around.
Beautiful, beautiful. And the second obstacle which Hanumanji faces is a serpent demoness by name Surasa. She had a boon from Lord Brahma that whoever would pass that area has to become her food, basically has to enter her mouth and, you know, come out. So Hanumanji passes by and she tells this to Hanumanji that this is the boon she has. So he has to pass through her mouth. And Hanumanji very lovingly pleads at the beginning. He says, Mother, I am on the Lord's work. Let me just complete the work. Later I will offer myself to you. She says, nothing doing. This is a boon given by Lord Brahma to me. You have to enter my mouth. So Hanumanji immediately recognizes what he should do. Praying to Lord Sri Rama and gaining inspiration, he expands himself into the height of, up to the height of 100 yojanas, it is said. It's described. And even Surasa opened her mouth to the level of 100 yojanas. Immediately Hanuman shrunk himself to a small tiny bit and quickly went into the mouth of this serpent demoness Surasa and came out. And he told, Mother, as you have told me, I have gone in and come out and I have done what you have asked me to do. She was so pleased with Hanuman. She said, My dear son, this was indeed a test which was put for you. And I am very, very happy with you. And I bless you that whatever endeavor you are going for will definitely be successful. Now, this second obstacle of Surasa is described as a Rajasic obstacle.
Very true.
You know, we have these issues which we face in the society. There are some social norms which are against the principles of seva or the principles that the Lord has taught us. You know, how do we deal with such? These are the Rajasic obstacles.
Dharmic dilemmas sometimes.
Yeah, these are ethical dilemmas which apparently looks okay for the society, but in the path of God, it is absolutely blasphemous to...
I think there are so many instances of our students when they go into the corporate world, and at many times they are asked to do many things, saying this is the norm of the company or this is what the boss wants. And many times you find them that they are in these tricky situations. These are these Rajasic dilemmas. Deepakan, brother, you are teaching management students. Probably right. You will know of instances boys have narrated how they are trying to deal with these situations.
Exactly. One instance which comes to my mind, Bishu, is regarding one of our old students from the MBA department, Mr. T.N. Giridhar. He was working for a big company in USA and he was supposed to go to London and make a presentation on behalf of his company for $1 million contract. And being his first assignment, as such a big assignment, he was very nervous about the outcome of this particular presentation. So sitting outside this particular boardroom where he had to go and make a presentation, he was feeling very nervous and, you know, he could feel that his hands were sweating. Then suddenly, something, you know, he remembered something when he was in Bhagwan's presence. And you know that, you know, some years ago when Bhagwan was physically present, before the bhajan started, there would be a flute music for 15 minutes time.
Yes.
And then the bhajans would start. So he was sitting in the portico and Swami was standing very beautifully, talking to him. And Swami asked him one simple question. Giridhar, where is this music coming from? So pat came the reply from Giridhar. He said, Swami, from the speaker above. Because there was a speaker right above his head. And then Swami said, no, no, Giridhar, wrong answer. This is only a speaker. The music comes from within. Always remember that.
From the bhajan hall.
From the bhajan hall inside.
Yes.
Right?
Mm.
Where God actually is enshrined.
Correct.
That is the garbhagriha. That is the, you know, the sanctorum of your heart from where the actually music comes from. Sitting outside the boardroom, the moment he, you know, remembered this particular incident, he immediately overcome his all his tension and all his dilemmas. Because he understood that he has to only go there as a speaker. But the music will come from God within.
So that was the first part of the discussion on Hanuman and the relevance of this phenomenal personality of Hanumanji. The lessons that we can learn from his life and apply it in these times. We started off by discussing why the Lord decided, at least to our knowledge and our understanding, the reason behind having the Hanuman statue right at the top of all the other gods in the Hillview Stadium. And then we went on to deliberate on how the dictum of life is a game played and life is a challenge meted is all played out and demonstrated in the life of Hanuman. And in fact, in the second part of this discussion, which we'll have on the coming Thursday in the next episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, we will go on to discuss more about life is a challenge meted, how we can learn to face the vicissitudes of life and come out successfully, the lessons that we can learn, practical lessons that we can learn from the life of Hanumanji. And then we'll move on to the other two dictums. Life is love, enjoy it. And life is a dream, realize it. All of these so beautifully illustrated in the life of his dear devotee, Hanuman. There is so much meaning in everything that Bhagwan said, everything that he has placed in Prashanti Nilayam. I always feel that every little thing that we see in Prashanti Nilayam, every tree, every flower, every bower, every statue, every symbol, every painting has a reason and a significance, because it is the Lord's doing. And we only have to contemplate, pray, and wait for the inspiration and the guidance to understand, then assimilate, and then implement in our lives. Because Prashanti is the Lord's abode, and everything about it is divine. So please wait for the next episode of Outside Inside on our Thursday Live next week, and we'll move on and discuss some more really beautiful, fantastic things about this powerful personality of Hanuman. I'm Team Resize Bishu, and it's time to really sign off for this Thursday. It's time to bring down the curtains on this Thursday Live from the studios of Radio Sai. Thank you so much for being with us all through the day. Please do keep writing to us. Your feedback is always eagerly awaited. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. I'm going to sign off now. At 9:50, you're going to listen to a drama on motherhood presented by Balvika's children from Bihar and Jharkhand in front of Bhagwan on 5th October 2010. You're going to listen to this drama, which is entitled Ma. So that's coming up in 5-6 minutes from now. Thank you so much, and finally a sweet goodbye and loving Sairam from Prashanti Nilayam. Before the drama starts, Just to fill your time, let me just play for you that song of Hanuman, that powerful song of Hanuman that we had in the program. So after this song is over, probably you will start listening to the drama on motherhood. Thank you so much, and Sai Ram.
Shakti mein hai sadam.